Hey everybody, it's Scott, and this is Food for Thought for John chapter 3, verses 22 through 36. If you've not read that passage recently, or if it's not fresh in your mind, I would encourage you to go back and read that before listening to the rest of this so that you have the text on the top of mind. This passage is where we see John the Baptist exalt Jesus again. This is where he says that he must increase, I must decrease, that exchange. And so a couple contextual things. One, we just get to see some of the themes around water, purification, baptism, all that stuff continues here in this focal passage. We get to hear, again, eternal life, stuff about bearing witness. Again, like I've said in a couple of these Food for Thoughts, there's just these repeating themes throughout the text, and we get to see more of that today. And then also just some neat little context things where it says that John is baptizing. Anon, however you want to say that. That is likely, maybe people think, near Samaria or in Samaria, where Jesus would actually go next. The next story that we have is where Jesus goes and talks to the Samaritan woman at the well. So yeah, this would kind of point to the whole idea that John is continuing to go and be a forerunner for Jesus. He's in a place where Jesus would then go next. Jesus kind of, he's not going to Samaria when he ends up talking to the woman at the well. He's passing through to go somewhere else. But it does, again, fit this idea that John is in a place where then Jesus would then go after him. So kind of paving the way for him there. And then even the name of the place where they're baptizing, Anon, it means springs. The fact that water was plentiful there, that literally says that there were many waters, there were many springs there in that place, which would make it great, obviously, for baptizing folks in the desert. But at the same time, it's just this beautiful picture of, as we kind of see in this particular story, there's one source of life, of living water, and that's Jesus. And no matter who is the one doing the baptizing or co-laboring in ministry, at the end of the day, there could be many springs of water, but they all come back to Jesus. He is the eternal source of life. So in terms of content, the way my brain was working going through this, a little bit different than before. First, we just see this pattern of witnessing show up big time here in this passage. We see that Jesus bears witness to God, the Father, that he is, in his words and everything else, he's received the full measure of the Spirit. So everything he says, everything he does is revealing of who God actually is, who the Father is. So Jesus bears witness to the Father. John bears witness to Jesus, and then John's disciples can bear witness to John, about John, the fact that John isn't the Christ, but he's the one pointing to the Christ. And so there's just this chain of bearing witness that we see in this passage, which is really interesting. And it seems to be that seeing Jesus rightly, he's the key to almost seeing everyone else, God, to seeing John, to seeing other people, teachers, leaders in the church, to seeing other disciples, ourselves rightly. If we see Jesus rightly and can behold him, then we get to see what everything else is really about more clearly. So all that to say, in terms of what it looks like for us to do ministry, this is another thing that we get to see more clearly in light of who Jesus is. And that's kind of what I want to chat about here in the content section. There's just 5 points that I think John has a grasp of what his ministry is supposed to look like in a healthy way. And the conversation he has with his disciples kind of brings up some maybe refined expectations that they need to have as they approach whatever this ministry is in baptizing and pointing people to Jesus. So we don't know specifically what the conversation or debate was that they had, that John's disciples had with this Jewish person, a certain Jewish man, about purification and all that kind of stuff. But it ended up leading to these questions about their ministry. And hey, everyone's going to see Jesus. Kind of what's that about? Well, we're doing our thing over here. And so here are five things about maybe what a healthy ministry could look like. And this applies to those of you listening to this who are leading a group, and it applies to anybody who's just part of the Great Commission that Jesus has given to all of his followers. So the first thing around what it looks like to have a healthy ministry, one, we are aware that Jesus is at work, right? Jesus was working, co-laboring with John the Baptist. They were in different spots, but they were both involved in leading a ministry of baptizing people. Jesus wasn't the one specifically doing the baptizing. I know it might sound like that here, but in chapter 4, verse 2, we see that it wasn't actually Jesus who was putting people under the water and saying the words and all that stuff, but he was leading his disciples in doing that. So we get to be aware that Jesus is at work. We're not in our own ministries personally, in the church, what have you. We're not the only ones at work. Jesus is at work as well. So a healthy awareness of that is a healthy ministry. Also, second thing, healthy ministries point to Jesus. They bear witness to who Jesus is. They're just not about a thing. They're not about a movement or a cause or a whatever. They ultimately point to Jesus. That's what a healthy ministry does. And if you're doing that, then a healthy ministry, number three, we'll see people going to Jesus, trusting Jesus, growing in dependence on him. We should not be cultivating dependence on ourselves, on our ministry, and our particular thing. Yes, like we need the church. We need each other. We need to be in gospel community. That is a thing that God has designed us for. But if we are placing ourselves at the center as a 100% necessity for someone else to be walking with Jesus, then we've kind of missed it. Even to the point of if that means that Jesus happens to call someone or a group of people away from us and somewhere else, if they're truly following Jesus, we should be celebrating that. Because in order for us to receive anything at all, in order for us to have a ministry that is bearing any kind of fruit, it has to be given from heaven. That's what John is talking about here, that in order to receive, it must be given us from heaven. And honestly, the church is Jesus' bride. And so the church belongs to Jesus, and Jesus gets to give the church whatever. And if Jesus gives the church a call to a ministry somewhere else, as was seemingly happening with in some way with the people who would have maybe gone to John to be baptized, but were instead going to Jesus, like John gets to celebrate that, right? And so we get to point people to Jesus because he's the one from whom they're going to receive whatever it is that they need from the Lord, not necessarily from us. But also, if that means that then our ministry gets smaller, but Jesus gets more glory, then that's really great. And that's the fourth point, is that we get to be joyful that we're not Jesus. We get to be joyful even if our ministries get smaller, but the people around us are seeing and beholding Jesus, or the folks that we send out from us are doing so because Jesus has called them, or they're following him faithfully. And so, yeah, we get to be excited, which is honestly, like in our flesh, probably not the first thing that we feel when folks maybe go away from us or our ministries get smaller, or maybe they just don't grow at the rate that we want to, or what have you. This could be maybe just a particular conversation not happening the way that you want to at work or at home or with a friend or a family member. Or it could be that it does go well and maybe someone else gets to then reap the benefit of that, or they connect to a different church, or maybe you've had a conversation with someone for a long time, but then they had a conversation with somebody else and that person, it clicked when that person talked to them in a way that it didn't with you, and maybe you feel jealous about that or whatever. But the reality is, like, we get to be joyful no matter what if Jesus is being made much of. And that's kind of the fifth point here of a healthy ministry, is that the fruit is that Jesus is just a bigger deal than we are. If at the end of the day we're forgotten, they don't remember what we say, but they remember who Jesus is and the fact that they get to be more dependent on him, trust him, love him more, worship him more freely, know him more rightly because of the way that we've related, discipled, loved people, then that is the win. We get to let Jesus increase and we get to decrease. And that is a really good, healthy thing that's actually good for us. So around some questions around some of this stuff, What makes ministry healthy? I think you get to ask maybe your folks that straight up. Maybe they've been discipled by someone. Maybe they have been discipling someone or think that that's something that they want to start doing. What's that about? What's that look like? How would you know if that's a healthy relationship or that it's bearing fruit in some way, shape, or form? Another question is this, like, how would you actually know, or what's it look like for Jesus to be made much of and us to be made little of? What does it actually mean on the ground level? How do we go about trying to do that in our relationship? Does that mean that we have to hate ourselves, be self-deprecating, whatever? Does that mean that we just aren't important or unnecessary to the mission? Is that what that means? Does it mean that we have to rush to Jesus in every conversation and that it's just like every other word off our lips is Jesus? Like, what does it actually mean for us to decrease while Jesus increases in our personal ministries? And maybe this is just another question, is like, what is our personal ministry? Like, how are we mindful of the way that Jesus is certainly laboring in our lives and the lives of the people around us? And how are we joining him in what we're doing, whether we're stay-at-home mom, whether we are empty nester, whether we are at work during the day, just kind of no matter what we're doing, what we're involved in, who we're around, what is the ministry that we are involved in, and how is Jesus co-laboring with us? How do we get to make much of him and point people to him during our days? Has anybody in your group maybe experienced competition in ministry or comparison, looking at other ministries and saying, gosh, like, they're doing a whole lot better? Maybe you looking at different group leaders or people that are in your groups, like thinking, man, these folks seem to be gifted in such a way, or these other folks seem to, I don't know, just have these experiences with other people that maybe people go to them more frequently, or they're seen in a way that I'm not. And just is competition, comparison, is that a thing in our own ministry in some kind of spiritual sense? What is that, and why do we feel that way? Have we ever been jealous before in the church, or because of relationships in the church or whatever? So I think those are just some things to get at around that. And we just get to again, point to the fact that we are called to bear witness about Jesus. And if we understand who he is, then we get to understand who the Lord is, who our teachers are, who our favorite church members are, or pastors, or group leaders, or whatever. We get to see other people in the church rightly. We get to see ourselves more rightly as well. And so this is kind of the vision of what it looks like to be a disciple shaped by Jesus. They know that they belong to Jesus, and nothing's going to change that. They know that they're not competing with Jesus or with anybody else in ministry. That's not a thing. There is enough of Jesus to go around. There's enough good news, grace, Holy Spirit to go around for everybody. And then lastly, they know that they get to take joy in being small, right? We get to take joy in being big if things blow up and things are great, but we get to take joy in people simply seeing more and more and more of Jesus, no matter what that means for our expectation of whatever it is ministry is supposed to look like, right? Just because everyone's going somewhere else to be baptized doesn't mean that we have to be bummed about our own ministry here, that as if we're not doing it right. When in reality, if what we're doing is pointing people to Jesus, then sometimes that means maybe things get smaller instead of bigger. And we get to find our joy in Jesus, just like we hope everyone else does as well. So hopefully that's helpful, guys. If you have any questions, feel free to hit me up. Thanks for all you do. Love you guys, and I'll see you next time.